you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, a familiar one for many of you. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But this is an important part of this verse. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's 1 Peter 3:17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 21st, 2022. Today's topic with our studio guests is why is it important for each of us to share Jesus with others? And our special facilitator, teacher, friend is Pastor Mark Jordan. He serves at the New Horizon United Methodist Church in Champaign. And by way of an informal introduction, I call him Mr. Barnabas. He doesn't know this, but he's a total encourager. He's one of the founding members, and he's attended the Ministry Leaders Network for the last couple of years. In fact, I'll tell you one quick little story, and then we'll have you, Mark, introduce yourself a little more. But at one point, I was trying to identify and sympathize or empathize with all the pastors, and I may have shared this over the air a year or two back, but I was like bemoaning the fact, oh, Lord, I'm glad you've called these pastors to serve you, but what a hard calling and all the demands and expectations, and it's such a rough job, and oh Lord, don't ever call me to be a pastor. And I kind of was trying to encourage the pastors, but I didn't think I was doing a very good job because I know how rough their job is and the expectations are off the charts. They have to be efficient and gifted in so many ways. There's no other job like that, where they're supposed to be great at hospital visits and sermon preparation and facility management and all the different things they have to do. Well, anyways, Mark came up and in a very wonderful way said, you know, Mark, you got to remember it's a high calling. It's a special calling. And God has put it on the hearts of these pastors to pour out because they love people and they love God's word. And it really helped me remind myself to never say I would never want to be a pastor or it's such a tough job. Yes, it is a tough job, but it's a high calling. And I appreciated that, Mark, because I had you then speak the next month on the high calling of being a pastor and have really appreciated your involvement with our Ministry Leaders Network and serving at New Horizon United Methodist Church in Champaign. But I asked you about a topic because today Jason is still recovering. In fact, I think it'll be about 2 or 3 weeks that he recovers from his eye surgery. And so we're praying him up, but he can't really be mobile at all. I think 50 minutes out of every hour, he has to sit in this chair and have his head down and keep his eye from moving around much. But Mark is stepping in on a moment's notice, and we appreciate him. And I said, Mark, what would be a topic you'd love to share with our listening audience and our studio guests? And the first thing you said is, why is it important for each of us to share Jesus with others? So disclose why that's an important facet in your ministry and in your life, and then introduce yourself to our radio listening family.
Great. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for inviting me to be with you. And I love the network and love being with you. You feed us so well. Yeah, you always do. And every week we've got more and more folk. And I love the fact that we're just the body of Christ together. Yeah, right. And these guys that share this weird calling of being a pastor, we kind of resonate with one another. I don't believe any pastor could have called that together because we're all, you know, in competition with one another. I'm speaking facetiously, of course. Mm-hmm. But you call us to a common space and you call us together that we might be fed and filled. And you do. You fill us and it's a joy. I love it. Love it. And so this particular topic is very meaningful to me. So here's a life scripture for me, Philemon 6. Philemon 6, it's only one chapter, so you don't have to give a chapter and verse, right? It's just the verse, Philemon 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. It's such a great scripture about faith sharing. I wouldn't call myself an evangelist. I have an evangelistic spirit. I want people to know Jesus, but I'm not a Billy Graham, you know. I truly am a pastor, but not in the terms of a chaplain, you know, a caregiving pastor. I'm a disciple maker. That's really, I want people to know the fullness of God. I want them to know the word. I want them to walk in the spirit. I want them to know victory in their lives, and I want them to be salt and light in the world. So I really want to raise up disciples. So this scripture is so powerful for me because Paul is calling us to share our faith. Why? Because we grow as disciples as we share our faith with others. He's saying that as we share our faith, we learn more and more and more about our faith, and we come to a greater understanding of what we have in Christ. That was my experience as a Christ follower. I have grown in my faith because I've learned to share my faith. And so I'm eager for Christ followers to do the same. Share your faith, yes, for the benefit of those who don't hear, but God will blow your mind as he reveals himself in greater ways to you. So there's my passion in faith sharing.
And I'm looking at Huey, who's our board chair. We have a board meeting in a few minutes after the program, and you're getting kind of excited with what Mark has to share. It resonates with you, I think, pretty strongly, right?
Well, my testimony, when Mark invited me to tell it on Testimony Tuesday for 20 minutes, it ended up going to an hour.
Three days.
Yes. So I'm not going to tell my testimony, but I have this great scripture here that shows the power and the importance of testimony. In Revelation, John's on the island of Patmos, and he says, "I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. For they loved not their lives even unto death.'"
It's a great passage. Love it.
You know, I had to look up Philemon because it's so short and it's sandwiched between Hebrews and 2 Timothy. And I'm like, I can't find that one, but it's like one page in the Bible. But I love the verse, as you mentioned, verse 6. "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." So, Mark, maybe talk a little bit about how can we be active in sharing our faith?
Sure.
Give us some examples or means,
you know,
or methods.
If I might, I think this is a scary topic for most Christ followers, and I think we struggle with sharing our faith. And so it's not enough to simply say, "Hey, go share your faith." I think we need to work at that. Study to show yourselves approved as a workman who is not ashamed. And so there really is some effort put into this so that we can share our faith. So I came to Christ when I was 18. And I had no biblical knowledge. We were not a church family. And a friend of the family, he sat me down and he said this at a dinner he had us to. He said, "Mark, are you going to heaven when you die?" And I said, "I have no idea, Paul. I've never thought that thought in my life. I'm 18 years old. What do I care?" He said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have any reason not to believe the Bible?" Which is an excellent question to ask people. "Do you have any reason not to believe the Bible?" And I said, "Paul, I guess not. If I'm honest, I've just never read it. I don't know enough about it to not believe." He said, "Then let me share with you what the Bible has to say about going to heaven." And he explained the gospel. Here I am, dumb as a stump. Dumb as a stump. And John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And like, bam, like Shazam, it just like that resonated with my soul. And I went home, and for the next week, I asked Jesus to come into my life, not knowing that the first night I did it, Jesus responded my prayer and came into my life. But I share that because I think there are people who think, well, we need to be raised in a church, and we need years and years of discipleship or catechism, and we've got to hear 1,000 sermons, you know, and it's building faith and building faith. And finally, one day at the revival, we go forward and we receive Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus can light you up in a heartbeat. And so the goal of my faith sharing, and in fact, my pastoral ministry, how many more 18-year-old Mark Jordans are out there who have simply never heard? They're not arguing. They're not rebelling against God. They don't hate God. They got no animus against God. They just have no idea there's a God in heaven because nobody's ever told them. So what if we be the ones that tell them? What if we be the ones that drop that word on somebody's heart? And so I love the parable of the sower, right? And we say, oh yeah, well, you got to be careful what you sow. I think that parable says, sow it everywhere. Because you have no idea what's going to happen. Sow it everywhere you go. We all know the Great Commission. Jesus' last words, right? Go ye therefore into all nations, make disciples of all people, and teach them everything that I have told you, taught you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. But he also, so that for me, that is the very designated, we're going out. We're going door to door. We're going to go. I do a lot of street ministry. We're going out there. We're going to share Christ very intentionally. We're going to do it 2:30 on Tuesday afternoon. But Matthew 10:7, Jesus says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Well, it's as you go to work, as you go to Walmart, as you go to the gas station, as you go to the restaurant, everywhere you go, you sow this seed. You sow, for me, that then gives the opportunity for the 18-year-old Mark Jordan, who's just never heard, to perhaps tell. And when I finally heard the gospel, I did find out that some of my friends were Christians. And I just grabbed him by the shirt and I said, why didn't you tell me this? I could have died and gone to hell. Why didn't you tell me? Well, we didn't think you were ready to hear. I think we need to be so careful about making that judgment. Oh, that person's not nearly ready. You never know until you sow the seed.
Now, would you say sometimes, or exhort the listener that's tuned in right now to say, or pray in the morning, Lord, order my steps today. Help there be those divine appointments that I'm cognizant of. How can people be more intentional to share their faith?
Yeah, I think that's well said. God, here I am. Would you put me in a circumstance today where I can share my faith and then give me the guts to do it? Pray for boldness, you know, and ask that God would give you grace that we could step into that and actually do it. But I would like to say something to all our listeners today, and that is that scripture from Philemon helps me understand something. I need to crystallize my faith if I'm going to share my faith. Because I think if you ask most Christ followers, okay, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? How do you become a Christ follower? And then all of a sudden they're just rope-a-doping, you know. Well, you go to church and you try to do the best things that you can, and you want to be a good steward. And then you say, well, what about Jesus? Oh yeah, and you need to believe in Jesus. Whoa! Back up the truck. We need to really and truly crystallize the gospel. And so when we do that and fully understand the good news, it becomes far easier to share. So I love, and I learned Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws 40 years ago. Somebody shared that with me. Bill Bright led 1 million people to Christ. He was Campus Crusade, if you're not familiar with him. And I just always base it on a cross. If y'all can imagine a cross, the top of the cross is very good news, that God loves us. The bottom of the cross isn't such good news. We've all sinned. One side of the cross is Jesus died for us. And the other side is we must repent and receive him. God loves us. We've sinned. Jesus died for us. We must repent and receive him. There you go. 66 books of the Bible. I just boiled it down into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've practiced that while I've taken showers and mowed the lawn and changed baby diapers. And I can rip that off in a moment. And if you listen to my Sunday morning messages, you will hear the four spiritual laws. You will hear me do that. The love of God, the fallenness of humankind, the cross of Jesus Christ, and our need to receive him. That puts me in a place where in any given moment, I can drop that on somebody. And let me go a little further, because you read from Revelation. I love that. We overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so when we're sharing Christ with other people, don't you forget, this is spiritual stuff. And the enemy of our souls does not want them to hear it, and will be the birds of the field and gobble up that seed. So we must fight fire with fire. And so my opinion is not nearly as important, certainly, as God's word, but my testimony is powerful. We overcome the wicked one with that. And I can very quickly say, I was 18 years old at the foot of my bed. I received Christ because I knew I was going to hell. And I can drop that. And there's power in a testimony. We overcome the wicked one in that. So as I share the four spiritual laws, my testimony, that becomes an opportunity to invite someone to receive Christ. And a very simple way that I've learned, and it works so well, if Christ could come into your heart right now, would you let him?
Hmm.
Isn't that a great question?
Hmm.
Well, I've asked that to a million people. They say, well, okay. Well, I'd love to just pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. I ask Jesus into my heart, and I receive Jesus right now. Now, I want you to tell me, Christ is in my heart. I'm a Christian. Hmm. That's John 10:10. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.
Mark, I'm thinking right now as people are traveling to work or busy about their day, there might be a stirring in someone's heart that has never come to the point of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. So talk about why God sent Jesus, because we're sinners, we're flawed.
Sure.
We can't earn our way into heaven.
Sure. And for the believers out there, I want to drop another one on you. And that's something that I've learned recently called Way of the Master. So Ray Comfort has kind of made a big deal out of this. And so the four spiritual laws are very helpful because it condenses the gospel. But I love the Way of the Master. And for anybody who might not be a believer out here, I think this is very helpful. And that is that we let the scriptures kind of bring the conviction. Okay, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. If I try to convince you of your sin, I come off as condemning. But when the Spirit puts his finger on something in our hearts, that's conviction. And that's the love of God. And so you run through the Ten Commandments. So I would ask you, Mark Burns, have you ever told a lie, even the smallest lie?
Only once since third grade. No, yes, of course.
which makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything, mm-hmm. even the smallest thing? Yes, you have. So have I, which makes us a thief. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that? Of course you have. That makes you an adulterer. So, by our own admission, mm-hmm. we are lying, thieving, adulterers. And the scriptures say that lying, thieving, adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means we're at a great deficit with God. Mm. But Jesus came to give his life for mine, to die in my place, to pay the debt of our sin. And it sounds too good to be true, but by receiving Christ by faith, our sin is uploaded to Jesus, and he downloads his righteousness. Mm-hmm. When I say yes to Jesus, I get to stand before God the Father, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I can't earn that. I can only receive that. And that's why we ask Jesus to come into our hearts. We turn from our sin, and we ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And we trust him for our salvation.
Now, for somebody that's really feeling that conviction, recognizing they've never seen themselves as sinners because they've made comparisons to others.
To me.
Well, I haven't killed people. I haven't done this, so I'm not a bad person. But really, it's only through Jesus that price has been paid.
Yes.
And that they can have that relationship with God. So if they said that prayer right now, what would be some of the recommendations or steps they should take to further that relationship, that understanding of God's love for them?
So when I, at the foot of my bed, asked Jesus into my heart, I knew nothing. I didn't know how you serve Jesus. And so what I began to do is read the words of Jesus. And when you begin to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people say, oh, it's too hard to understand. That's only because you've never read it before. I mean, good heavens. Jesus says, unless you become as a little child, you'll in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. My grandchildren can understand the words of Jesus. And Jesus began speaking to my heart, and I developed a relationship with Jesus. Here's the deal. I want my love for Jesus to supersede any other love in my life. So if there's a sin in my life, a secret sin, maybe a bad habit, an addiction, something that I know good and well doesn't please the heart of God, it means that I love that thing more than I love Jesus. Mm. Jesus, would you increase your love for me? And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Mm. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be made full. Jesus, cause my heart to love you, love you, love you. And so I have this growing relationship with God whereby I enjoy his fellowship and God enjoys me. And I want that relationship to be pure and untarnished, much like my relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. We sustain that by doing loving things towards one another, by giving our attention to one another. And I believe we read the scriptures, we spend time in prayer, we certainly want to be in fellowship with other believers and those kinds of things. But I want people to love Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's that motivator. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. Mm-hmm. That's not bending our arm, it's just the truth. Because right. If you don't love Jesus, you won't obey him.
Huey, before I ask you to close our time in prayer, in case you just tuned in or missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. Pastor Mark Jordan has been filling in and facilitating our discussion on why is it important for each of us, that's you listening, friend, each of us to share Jesus with others. It could alter somebody's destiny Amen. For all eternity. Amen. You can be that vehicle that God uses to help garner somebody's understanding or help them realize the need that they have for Jesus. We all are sinners. We're all flawed. We all need Jesus. God made a way, and it's by asking Jesus Christ into our hearts, recognizing Amen. We're sinners and we can't earn our way into heaven. So maybe, Huey, in our closing minute or two, pray up the listener that's maybe far from God, feels like they've botched it up, that they don't deserve to be forgiven or they can't be forgiven, to somebody that's maybe entertaining the idea that God loves them but hasn't come to that point where they really have accepted the great work that God did on their behalf, to the senior saint that just needs to be encouraged today.
Thank you, Lord, dear God. Pray that this wonderful message that is a message of truth, a message of eternal life, a message of love, a message of peace, dear God, that this message would go forth, because we know that the mind that doesn't know Jesus Christ is so desperate to know you, Lord, to know you and love you, because we live such a short time on this earth and then we have eternity, dear God. And as this pastor brought forth, dear God, your love is beyond anything that we could have, dear God. There's nothing on earth that is better than your love. And you showed us, because you're a healer. You're a lover of our souls, dear God. And you love us in a way that nobody else could love us, dear God. So I pray, dear God, that this message will go forth, especially to the one who feels he or she cannot be forgiven, because we know that all of us are in need of forgiveness, and that you do forgive us for any sin, from the smallest sin to the worst sin, and that you cry out to us to bring us forth into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the message today, and that you would bring it forth to all the people who are hearing. In the name of Jesus, amen.